It's me, Mario.
No, really, guys. I was just playing. Hey trans fans, this is Heath from Cold Hard Slag, filling in again for Brian Kilby. Let's see, we've got a pretty awesome show, well, I wouldn't go so far to say awesome. We've got a, shut up, Diddy. We've got a decent show lined up this week.
It sucks!
shut up, guys. Okay.
We'll never do our thing again.
Okay, anyway, moving right along. Let's see, Tim is going to start us off this week with a story he did called Nightbeat and the Plot Device of Doom. We're going to follow that up with a toy review I did on Generation 1 Skywarp. Shut up, Diddy. We're going to follow that up with part 2 of the really old Transformers show story thing called When Continents Collide. Diddy. Okay. Something I want to bring to everyone's attention real quick while we're talking about When Continents Collide. Brian and I got some mail from two or three different people this week, voicing their concern with how bad fans could possibly get together and do some type of a show like this. I would clearly like to state that this isn't a fan dub or anything to that nature. This is something that people actually got paid back in the 80s to do. It's made by a company called Kid Stuff, and they made several different kids stories. In addition to the three Transformers stories you can download off our site, I happen to have a couple of old He-Man stories made by the same company.
They all suck!
Yes, JD, they all suck. So I assure you, this was not some fan project. I would hope if any trans fans got together and attempted anything close to these stories that they would just do something better than that. Anyway, after When Continents Collide, JD's going to do some toy review. He hasn't told me of what yet. He keeps saying that it's a surprise.
It's a big surprise, Heath. You're going to love it.
You'll love it.
Okay, so after whatever it is he's reviewing, we're going to finish the show up with a song Tim made that's called Caroli?
Caroli.
It, like, as in Victor Caroli?
As in Victor Caroli. It's my ode to him, yes.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, well, That's pretty much the show lined up. Guys, can you think of any maybe Transformer news that we might want to cover before we get into the show this week? I know we've got BotCon coming up.
Sweet.
Anything other than that?
Well, we do have the 2-pack of Wars and Crosswise showing up on eBay this week. Going for an exorbitant amount of money already.
As always.
I would say wait for it to come in the stores, people. Please, it's not going to be that much longer.
Yeah. Now, I haven't checked eBay to see. I mean, I'm assuming Spooky is selling him, or is it somebody new?
It's somebody new. It's not Spooky.
Really?
This time.
Interesting.
There's a link to the auction on coldhardslag.com, as well as various other Transformer sites out there.
That is very interesting. Huh. Okay, I'll have to check that out later. All right, well, unless you two guys have anything to add, I guess we'll go ahead and get started with Nightbeat and the Plot Device of Doom.
It was a night like any other night. Dark, cold, and lifeless. The moons over Cybertron cast their light without any care. creating shadows that danced across the metallic surface of the planet. I knew without doubt that tonight would be the same. Boring. Dull. Boy, was I wrong. That's when she came into my life. I sat at my desk, sipping some Energon. My feet propped up, the door opened, and there she was. A hot vixen in pink, with curves on her plates that could drive any bot wild.
Are you Nightbeat?
She asked. Yeah, that's me, I responded, because that's my name. I'm Nightbeat.
Detective Nightbeat, I have a job for you, if you're willing.
Listen, Ladybot, just tell me your story and remember, I'm not real cheap. She responded in a sultry manner that let me know that she had done this before.
Money's no object, detective, so hear me out.
I sat up straight and looked her in the eye. Something didn't sit right, but I listened anyway. Maybe it was just the way her optics looked in the darkened room. Maybe it was her smile. I don't know.
My name is RC. I've lost something very important to me. If it is not returned soon, it could spell disaster for the Autobots. Will you help me retrieve it?
I was reminded of the time I helped Prime out by searching for the Matrix. I nearly got myself killed on that one. Of course, that's what a detective does. Laughing in the face of danger. It depends, Toots. What is this device you're all in a bind over?
It's the plot device.
She said, nearly about to rust herself out with tears. The plot device? How could she have lost that? And I responded, how could she have lost that?
I didn't lose it as much as it was stolen by my ex-boyfriend, Galvatron, took it from me last night.
Listen, lady, what you need is Judge Judy, not me. I may be a drunken, washed-up, unkempt detective, but I'm not about to settle some domestic dispute over who owns what. Sheesh.
But detective...
She started to pout, which is like kryptonite to me. She sauntered over to my desk, and her hips gyrated like a six-cylinder Ford. It was driving me nuts.
I don't know for sure that he has it. That's why I need you. If he does, it has to be returned discreetly so nothing bad happens. Please?
She had won me over. Let's face it, I'm a sucker. And one of these days, it will spell my doom quicker than a Simon Furman story. I made my way into the Decepticon lair, where I was sure to find Galvatron this time of night. In car mode, myself and Muzzle, my sidekick, headmaster, and best friend, made our way deeper into the compound. It stank of old Energon and things I didn't even want to talk about. It was dark, so we were well hidden. Once inside, I quietly transformed and walked around. Funny, I thought. I haven't seen a Decepticon yet. At that moment, I find myself looking right into the control room of Decepticon HQ. Galvatron sat on a throne, talking to one of his soldiers on a big screen in front of him.
And that's what Big Shitty Bot hurt me, boss. And Soundwave took off.
Darn that Soundwave.
Decepticon signing off. Bye-bye.
I had heard enough. Right behind Galvatron sat the plot device. I deftly grabbed it and ran for the exit. I had almost made it to safety when out in front of me stepped some cons ready to fight.
Who are you?
They call me Night.
Decepticons, retreat!
Well, that was that.
Oh, Nightbeat. How can I ever repay you?
RC was positively beaming with excitement. I shot her a smile and winked. It's all a day's work, ma'am. There is one thing you could do, however.
What's that?
She asked. Tell me what the plot device is. She sat for a minute and thought. I could tell that thinking wasn't really her strong point. After a while, she responded.
Well, okay, if you really want to know, it's all about...
Shh! I interrupted. On second thought, I don't even want to know.
Some things are better left for sequels, retcons, or ways to combine and jumble continuities.
I guess you're right. At least this way, the plot device is safe and can't be used by insane writers to turn our planet into a greenhouse or something.
Ain't that the truth, Toots? Ain't that the truth?
This week, I'm doing a review of Generation 1 Skywarp. Let's see, we'll start off here. Skywarp is one of the original Seekers, the Decepticon jets. He was of the same mold as Starscream and Thundercracker. He just had a different paint job. I think one of the reasons I like Skywarp over the other two Seekers is that, I don't know, I just... Black and purple, to me, seem to make a really good combination. Starscream kind of had, like, the American colors going on with his red, white, and blue. And Thundercracker kind of had the overall blue motif, which was nice. But I don't know, I just think that black and purple offset each other nicely as far as a paint scheme goes. I'm basing this toy review off of my Skywarp that I recently picked up at a toy store here in Oklahoma City called Toy Base 10. You can find it on our site. This is a very, very nice specimen, the one I happen to pick up. I'd rated it at least a solid C8, at least. In all honesty, this guy's a good C9.5. Let's see. Overall features of the toy. He transforms exactly like the original Starscream and Thundercracker did. You've got the option of taking the wings off, or some people just fold them back. You pop the arms out in the middle. They fold around to either side. You then snap the fists on. Then you take his little cone head thing here and you just kind of snap it around underneath the body. In the manuals, they always leave the... Sometimes you see the manual where they leave the cone thing sticking up. I think that looks ridiculous and absurd. I always like... pushing the cone back myself. As I mentioned just before, you take the fists and you slide them on the arms to get one of the most popular Generation 1 bricks that Hasbro ever made. This was pretty common with a lot of the Generation 1 toys. You had a few interchanging parts and then everything else pretty much was just real solid. That's one thing that I really like about the Beast Wars toys in design over the Generation 1 toys, is that the Beast Wars, and even with the Beast Machines, you usually have a little bit of flexibility with the toy. It's not just, you know, one or two points of articulation like it was with a lot of the smaller Generation 1 figures. Once you get Skywarp in robot mode, you take the missiles that snapped onto his wings, and you go ahead and plug those into his arms, and those became his null rays, as they were called in the show. Let's see here. The jets of this era, to me, were very, very realistic. What I've liked about some of the stuff they've done recently, like with Jetstorm from the Beast Machines line, is I like the futuristic jet look, but something that always won me over, and this is probably why I even liked Transformers so much as a kid, is because the toys, I mean, you know, Optimus Prime, you could drive down the road, and still can today, and see a Mack semi-truck. the jets that they modeled Skywarp, Thundercracker, and Starscream off of. I mean, they're very realistic looking jets. The fact that they're metal just adds to the charm. No more plastic toys. As Optimus Primal said, die-cast construction, it's a lost art. Overall, I would give this toy a good 8 out of 10 stars. The only reason keeping him from getting a perfect score is, again, he suffers the same thing that a lot of the original Generation 1 Transformers suffered from, and that is they only have 5 to maybe 10 points of articulation tops, and that's stretching it. A lot of your newer toys, I mean, you've got movable wrists, elbows, waist, head, neck, knees, ankles. These guys, they pretty much pivoted around the major joints, the shoulders and the hips, and that was about it. So articulation detracts from his overall, or what his overall score could be. As far as stickers go, I really like the stickers that go on this toy. They look very, very nice. The old school Decepticon logo. Another thing that detracts from the overall score, and I'm assuming other people did this. I wouldn't mind anybody emailing me and telling me whether or not they did this, because I'm dying to know. But I only had maybe 3 or 4 of the original jets when I was a kid. I had Dirge, and I had like a couple of the jets that were released in 85, and then I've got Skywarp here. The wheel, the front landing gear wheel, I always lost that darn thing. What I got to doing, and I've still got my wheel for Ramjet, is I would open up the cockpit and I would stick the wheel in there. I'm wondering if everyone else came to that conclusion, because it works rather nicely. I've managed to keep the front landing gear wheel all these years by just sticking it in the cockpit of the toy. That's pretty much my review of Skywarp. Again, I like the colors. He's got 8 out of 10 stars on my scale simply because he's a Gen 1 brick. Some of the parts, I don't really like having to snap on all the parts. That was another problem a lot of the Gen 1 toys had, is there were so many parts to get lost. It wasn't like some of the modern-day Beast Wars and Beast Machines where everything. I mean, something I really like about the original Rhinox and Waspinator is the gun actually becomes part of the beast. So you've got the entire toy all in one transformation. And then you just break, you know, you just snap off part of the leg and that becomes the gun or whatever. And you're ready to go. That's my review of Skywarp. On to more of the show.
What catastrophe awaited the Earth and the universe if Megatron's diabolical course of action was not stopped? In Autobot Command Headquarters, tension was running high as Optimus Prime asked,
"Well, Prowl, anything?"
Headset on, Prowl studied the computer printout intently as he listened. When Optimus Prime touched his shoulder, he turned and pulled aside his headset.
"Nothing yet, Chief,"
he replied.
"No vibrations or radar profile return for hours now. Their mole machine is definitely not active at the moment. What do you suppose they're up to?"
"Nothing good."
Then, moving away to be alone and to think, Optimus Prime muttered,
"Make your move, Megatron. Show yourself so I can crush you once and for all."
"How am I doing this time, Master?"
Soundwave had to shout over the roar of the turbine drives and the grinding of the bore bit as the mole machine chewed its way under the jungle above.
"Don't pat yourself too hard, Soundwave, or you'll knock your cassette out! Ah!"
"Yeah, well, this is the last tunnel in the network, isn't it? There's salt water under the whole place now."
At Autobot Command, the laser sonar return had been knocking Prowl's ears off for hours. He sat back, removed the headset, and turned to Optimus Prime.
"They stopped, Chief!"
"That's only the ante, Prowl. The game has just begun. I'm waiting for Megatron's bet. Then I'll cover it and force his hand."
On the surface, from the deck of the mole machine, Megatron watched the rising oil cover bushes and lap at tree trunks. Birds screamed overhead. Animals bellowed and crashed about in a frenzy, seeking the higher ground.
It is a wonderful sight,
exclaimed Megatron.
Yes, Master. Oh, look! One of those primitive humanoids crying for help.
Transferring themselves to the Decepticon defoliator craft, from which they could get a better view of the destruction they had caused, Megatron and Soundwave maneuvered slowly through the jungle. The craft's enormous hover fans ripped the air, their powerful downthrust bending trees until they snapped like twigs and blowing protesting birds and animals left and right like so much debris.
That's the geographic low point of the lake, Master,
Soundwave pointed out.
It's the perfect loading site. Every last drop of oil will flow to this area until the lake is dry.
Defoliate them! 10 square miles! I want to bring in 4 oil transporters at a time!
To raise the oil in the jungle, Megatron had to draw off most of the huge warm ocean current along the coast of South America. Moving in to replace that warm current was a larger cold current. Since these are the currents that control the weather over much of the globe, such a sudden and enormous change played havoc with the delicate balance of nature and led to tremendous weather disturbances that destroyed everything in their path. Could this terrible situation be prevented? Only the Autobots had the ability to do it, and Optimus Prime did not shrink from the responsibility.
All right, depraved Megatron! You have played your cards, now I shall play mine!
Prowl was monitoring Autobot surveillance and announced,
Our Autobot spy, Bumblebee, is over the target now, Chief!
Good! I want to be certain we have the exact location coordinates of this nemesis of all creation, so we can smash him finally and forever!
Meanwhile, Soundwave was monitoring the radio as Megatron observed the fuel loading. Yelling over the roar of transporter turbines and suction drives, Soundwave announced to his leader,
Wonderful blazing rivets, Master! One Earth City is about to go!
At that moment, the Autobot Superjet Skyfire zoomed overhead. But no sooner had Megatron raised his fusion cannon toward it than Skyfire was already past and out of sight.
Don't worry, Master. That Superjet's communication with its base is garbled! It sounds like Autobot headquarters is going underwater! Ha! We have nothing to fear from them.
Nothing to fear? Optimus Prime is a fool, but he is not stupid. Even up to his neck in water, he is capable of plotting my destruction. Are you sure nothing got through?
I'll check my radio, Master, but... Oh! My cable connection was loose, Master! It was my headset that garbled the message!
You mechanical nitwit! Is your tape wound too tight, or what?
Suddenly, wave after wave of Autobots swept in, urged on by Optimus Prime.
Attack noble Autobots! Reduce the Inferno Decepticon and the corrupt Megatron to twisted heaps of hot metal!
Diving, relentless, and thundering, they released a hailstorm of null rays and missiles. Transporters exploded as the Decepticons mounted a futile counterattack to cover their retreat. Using the mole machine, Megatron sought safety by tunneling into the Earth, shouting,
Confounded but not defeated, Optimus Prime! I shall be back! I swear it!
Returned to normal, the Earth waits. The Autobots remain its only defense against Megatron. And the battle continues.
All right, this is JD, and I'm going to be doing a surprise toy review today.
Yeah, what was that surprise toy review about, JD? Is this it?
Yes, Heath. We're going to show you. Tim?
All right, let's go, Heath.
What? No! Hey! Why are you... Let me go, Tim! What are these animals?
Yeah, get him down good there.
Tim, come here! Why did you guys handcuff me to this chair?
Alright, now I'm going to be doing a review of Heath's boxed Apelink!
What?!
Yes! that's right. He's Minton Boxy.
Let go of my apron.
Tim,
put my apron.
Quiet him down, would you?
No. Tim, ow!
Yeah, give him another one.
Stop hitting me!
Thank you.
Ow.
All right, this is going to be a review of Heath's Minty Fresh Sealed Inbox Ape Link.
You had better
yes, that's right, the 2000 BotCon exclusive. Tim, give him one more, would you?
This all right, yeah! Ow!
Okay. Now, we don't want to break the tape on this one when we do the review.
No.
So, we're just going to rip right through the box.
No.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Not quite. Okay, good, good. Now we're into the toy. And, well, it looks like there's a lot of twisty ties here, so I don't feel like taking all of those out. I'm just going to rip it right through. Okay, good. Now we're into the toy.
Just don't hurt the toy.
And, okay, it looks pretty good. There's some silver chrome on here, which is pretty shiny. It looks kind of shoddy, though. I'm going to see if it comes off pretty easy with my keys. And, that looks like it comes off pretty easily with
that.
Okay, so now we're going to move on into the robot mode, and...
Stop crying, Heath! Stop it!
I don't think that arm's going to go back on there, Heath.
So,
okay. So, now we're into robot mode. I just lost a missile. But the robot mode looks pretty good. It's pretty well balanced and everything. And, wait a minute. Let me move this over here. And, that's not going to go back. Ooh. Sorry, Heath. Otherwise, though, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, how can you be participating in this?
But once again, it looks like it's got some pretty shoddy construction. So let's see how it stands up to being thrown on the floor.
No,
it didn't take that very well. That's gonna take some glue. Otherwise, it's pretty cool, you know. It's step off the Optimus Prime. Thanks. Okay, yeah, that. Ooh, yeah, you're not gonna be able to fix that one. I'd say it's a pretty good toy, though. I'd give it a 3 God Magnus thumbs up. This is definitely one, though, you want to keep sealed. Make sure you keep this nice, minty fresh and sealed. Keep it on your shelf, kind of like this used to be. Definitely don't want to open this. But that's the review. And, hey, Tim, isn't that a new Krispy Kreme Donuts open here in Oklahoma City?
Yeah, the one right there on Western, yeah.
Okay, great. Hey, let's go get some donuts.
Let's go.
All right, Heath, we'll see you later.
No,
see you.
No, guys.
Yeah, have fun.
No, really, guys. Bye. No, guys. Guys. Come let me up, guys. Okay. Joke's over. Okay. Alright, yeah. Okie dokie. Well, I guess that's RFC for this week. Tune in next week when Brian and the rest of the guys from the normal RFC staff are back. And, they'll do their thing next week. I'd like to thank Brian for letting me host the show here for the past couple weeks. My thoughts and prayers are with his dad. I guess we'll wrap the show up now with a song that Tim did this afternoon. And I think I'm just free enough to slip that disc into my zip drive here. And we'll go ahead and play this. Be sure and tune in next week for a live broadcast of JD from the hospital after I get done beating the slag out of him. This has been RFC. This is Heath signing off.
Decepticons have conquered the Autobots' home planet of Cybertron. The treacherous Decepticons have conquered the Autobots' home planet of Cybertron.
Thousand.